How many love to praise him? Amen. Just the theme of all the songs and specials. We have enough to praise him. If he doesn't do one more thing, we have enough to praise him throughout eternity. Amen. And we'd still just be getting started. My goodness. Don't you love him tonight? Yes. Amen. Well, we're just so glad to be back together here once again for the third service of our special meetings. This would be our 27th annual special meetings, I suppose. And if you're just joining us tonight, welcome. God bless you. We're glad to have you with us. And just throw your lick of fire into the ring and let's have a bonfire. Amen. Let's just worship him in spirit and in truth. Just give him our best. Give him everything. Pull on the word. I believe that, he really wants to do what he said he would do for us. He really wants to do it. Right? So as we've heard in the services so far leading up to this, we're not waiting on him. He's waiting on us. Right? He's already told us. He's already given us his word. He's vindicated it. He even demonstrated it once again in our day because we forgot after 2,000 years and had so many different Jesuses walking around. And so he updated himself and he proved to us his word. Now he's looking for somebody, anybody, to just take him at his word. Amen. And he'll perform it. You know, sometimes we have such a struggle and we think, you know, what do I need to do? And I got, you know, this and that and the other. And you just need to let go and let God. Amen. Just believe him. Just take him at his word. He'll do the rest. In fact, he wants to do the rest. How many can say amen to that? Amen. He delights to perform his word. Amen. So we've had two wonderful services so far. How many would say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. One of our own, our brother Eli Ortiz, brought a piece of the master on Wednesday night, just kicked it off with not unity, but perfect unity, taking it to, you know, as it should be. And just so many wonderful things that were said, and the mechanics were laid out, were without excuse. Right. We've been instructed. Now we need to put that into action, sure. Right? And then and talking about the things that can and will take place when we're in one mind and one accord. We see what the world does when they get together, you know. We see what, even in the natural, the Tower of Babel, that God saw that if he didn't come down and confound the languages, that whatever men brought into their minds and agreed on, they'd do it.
Right.
Now that's in the natural, right? How much more in the spiritual realm when we come together and just say, Lord, have your way. We're done thinking, Lord. We want you to do the thinking. We want to take the mind of Christ and let it come from the cloud and download into the body and let your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Amen, amen. And then last night, our brother Andy Schuler brought another piece of the master, let the rain fall on us. And one likening of it was the mechanics were brought on the first service and then the dynamics on the second service, but there were still some mechanics being brought on because you've got some things to do. You got to dig the ditch out. You say, well, what for? Don't ask questions. Just do it. Right? He'll bless you. Amen. Listen, friends, nobody's going to outgive God. We're not going to cross over to the other side and say, Lord, you know, you owe me a little bit, right? He'll owe no man. So whatever you do, he'll bless it. Amen. For his kingdoms. He's just waiting for us to give him something to work with. Just some wonderful, wonderful thoughts. I've just, we don't want to rehash, and we could in this atmosphere. If you can't preach, you're not a preacher. In fact, if you just have the gift of gab, I think you could get away with it up here tonight. It's just such a nice atmosphere. Doesn't it feel good? It just, people say we don't go by feelings. Well, I'll remind you that when you don't feel good, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to hear about your feelings, right? It's just, well, when we're in church, we listen. I'd rather feel good than the other way. When the atmosphere is right, there's a peace. When the atmosphere is right, there's a trust. Yeah. When the atmosphere is right, there's a rest. Yeah. And we're ready to receive the word. Yeah. And we're ready to apply it in our lives and say, Lord, just have your way. Yeah. So we were reminded that, you know, the vessels that would be filled with oil, you know, how full do you want to be? How blessed do you want to be? Go out there and get the vessels and empty them out. And so one thought there were so many wonderful things were said last night, but there was one thought that I couldn't think about too long because then I'd miss what else was coming. And I thought, well, I'll ruminate on this a little later like a cow, you know. You understand what ruminating is? You swallow it in one of your eight stomachs, and then it comes up again, and you chew on it, and that was really good. Then you swallow it, and up it comes again, and chew on it some more. And am I turning you off here? Yeah, we always thought you were strange, Brother Doug, but now we're convinced. No, it's something that it's wonderful. We just love the Word of God, just wonderful. So our brother was mentioning, you know, that you need to surrender that fallow ground, the ground that's not being used, right? Yeah. And you might have some beautiful flowers in that ground, and you might say, but they're so pretty. I don't want to diss this up, right? And so it's not even sin that we're talking about, but it's something that you don't want to change. Something that you want to hold on to. You could go so many directions with that. It could be memory lane, right? It could be the world as you know it. It could be relationships. I don't want any of that to get disturbed. You know, it's so nice. Well, you need to let him tear it up. And if he tears it up, then he's going to plant. And he knows what to do with that field, right? He's going to bring an increase. And it'll be for his honor and glory. And you will be blessed in the process. So anyway, we just so appreciated the message last night. So tonight, our brother Manuel Salazar will be ministering the word, and we're just so excited to have him and his family with us tonight. And just there, amen. They are dear friends, and we see people maybe falling away this way or that way, and you think, oh, well, I didn't expect that, or I didn't see that coming, and it hurts, and you grieve, but you move on, right? But then there are some that you just know they aren't going to fall away. Look, just call me whatever you want, but I won't let it happen, right? I expect that we are going to be the finishers of this race together, right? And we may have to pick one another up a few times between now and then, but you know, we love them, and you know, Brother Manuel and his family and their church, they've had meetings and invited different ones to come out, and my first visit there, I called it, this is where East meets West, and it was. There's ministers from the East and from the West, and we just had some wonderful times there and some wonderful services, and we trust that the Lord will continue to move in that area, you know, the place where the Santa Fe Trail came through, and little town Española. What does that mean anyway? I think it means Spanish in Spanish, right? Yeah, Español. Yeah, or Spaniard if it's a noun, right? Anyway, Santa Fe, Holy Faith. So you're getting the Spanish lesson tonight. That's it. Tamale, enchilada, taco. Okay. Now I had to say the food thing, right? Yeah. Which reminds me, we will have some refreshments and in the fellowship hall again this evening. We thank the sisters and everybody that had a part in that. Thank you very much. And it was really, really a blessing. And I don't know who had the nice little popcorn machine and goodies and all set up over there. That was really cool. I wish I was a little kid because I didn't get to do that. This isn't a pity party. We didn't do that when I was a kid growing up. So I thought, man, if I was a kid, that's really cool. My grandson, he's eating that popcorn, you know. But I found that I had to stand over there and say, don't stop here. Keep going. Because we said a little snack, and I think everybody thought a little snack. And they were probably thinking, cool, you know, drink and popcorn. Yeah. Anyway, go into the fellowship hall, and let's have a little fellowship. And if you can spare the time, we'd certainly we appreciate you making the effort to come, and we'd just love to have fellowship with you and express our love and our thanks. Anyway, our brother Salazar, we just love him, and you know, there's just one Manuel Salazar. God made him a certain way and made us all a certain way, but you'll see Brother Manuel's made a certain way, and I just love God for that. And you know, you can see God's love when you different ones, well, you as an example, God brings you into my life, and that's God's love to me, right? That's him expressing his love to me. I see his love because he shared you with me, right? So we're thankful that God shared our brother Manuel with us tonight, and we just want him to take his liberty. He's nervous when he came in, and the devil was trying to attack him as he, you know, he's very faithful. The devil is. He never misses a service, doesn't have excuses. In fact, he never misses an altar call. He's the first one down at the altar, last one to leave, right? He'll come and whisper on your shoulder, you don't need to be down here. You know, you pray good prayers. What are you doing down here, right? Get away, devil. So anyway, we just want to pull on the gift tonight. And, you know, we understand Brother Branham would he taught us. He said, you're the one that operates the gift. You pull in the gift, right? And of course, there was a time to understand that and learn that, him being a prophet in the prophetic ministry and the different gifts that he had in his life. But it's true for any gift, any ministering gift, right? You're the one that you pull in that gift, and God will speak to you, right? And the minister may not have a clue who is being dealt with or why he said a certain thing, but you do. And then you say, thank you, Lord. And so once you recognize that, then you come with, as we heard last night, with an expectation. And then you don't leave disappointed, right? Because you've come with the right approach, the right mental attitude. And then you operate the gift. So let's do that tonight. And let's just get whatever it is that we have need of. And you may not know what you have need of, and that's fine. He does. But let's just let go and let God and say, God, whatever. I'm just here. I'm available. Reporting to duty. Have your way tonight. Brother Aaron, it's good to have you with us tonight. God bless you. I'm going to get myself into trouble because all of you, it's good to have you. So, are visiting a church here in town, so it's just so nice. So anyway, we're going to invite our brother to come and just take his liberty. So let's sing I Need You, Lord, I Need You, Lord, as our brother Manuel comes tonight. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. How many can say that tonight? Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. Have your way, Lord. And so I lift my hands and I bow my knees and I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. One more time with all your heart. I need you, Lord. Just sing it to him now. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord, have your way tonight, Lord. Bless our dear brother. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, dear Lord. Yes, Lord. So I lift my hands and I bow my knees
many need the Lord? How many have the Lord? Glory. I want to get right into the Word this evening. I want to, if you have your Bibles with you, I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Appreciate the musicians. God bless you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I think I'm going to need a little more room up here. It's a little tight right there. Amen. I bring greetings from the church in Española. I'm sure many of them would like to be here, so we just keep them in prayer. We're able to bring my wonderful wife with me, and in case anybody gets out of line, you'll have to deal with her. I say, the Lord's my backup, but he uses human beings. So she goes with me where I go, so I'm blessed to have her. My mom and dad came. God bless them. And yes. We brought Sister Abby with us, amen, to come out and just enjoy all your fellowship. So she's been enjoying it, so God bless her too. Of course, we appreciate the invitation, Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer. Like he said, they've been wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to us. This church has been wonderful to us. Yeah, I feel like I'm at home, so if I get a little too relaxed, I'm going to do my best. Like Brother Doug would say, well, Brother Manuel, I think he was kind of warning you just a little bit. So Brother Manuel's Brother Manuel's Brother Manuel. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to behave my best. So we'll try to do that. Say a little prayer for my sister. She's at home watching my son. So she sacrificed so she couldn't be here, so that we could be here. So she's taking care of my son. So Sister Veronica, I know she's listening. So God bless her. God bless you. Amen. And of course, my sister Rachel, my brother Reuben, Brother Doug was saying that the devil was attacking her. Last night I got to the hotel and I started getting dizzy and, said, what's going on? Oh, I know what's going on. I know what's going on. And so we just rebuked that devil and he flees. So if I have to persevere, you have to persevere. So I believe that the Lord has something to say to us tonight. So if we would, let us read in the scriptures this evening. We'll just get right into the word. We're going to start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. When you're there, say amen. Amen. So I guess you're going to be up there. So you can say amen, everybody together. Amen. Now, the Bible says, just a little heading before we get into the word. Of course, we all know that this is the revelation of the rapture. Can we say amen? So we want to read that. Now, the Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Can someone say, we have a lively hope? Amen. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Amen. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, somebody say the Lord himself. Lord himself. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Somebody's happy to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Church, listen now. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Encourage, amen, console, strengthen with these words. How many are encouraged tonight? Amen. How many are strengthened? Amen. We're going to be with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us turn now to the book of John, chapter 14. Oh, John chapter 14, and we're going to just read a few verses there. John 14, verse 1. Now, the heading to this scripture in my Bible says, Jesus comforts his apostles. So now we've been comforted by the word for the rapture, right? And now Jesus comforting his apostles. Listen to what he says. He says, let not your heart be troubled. How many believe that that's to you?
Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare, somebody say prepare.
Prepare.
Brother Andy, say prepare. To prepare. Hallelujah. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, those are encouraging words.
Yes.
This is Jesus speaking now.
Yes.
It's not me. It's not another man. But Jesus is saying, if I go, I will go to prepare something for you.
Amen.
And then when I do, I'm going to come and get you and you'll be with me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Notice he says, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way.
Amen.
The truth.
Yes.
And the life.
Yes.
No man. Somebody say, no man. And no man, the Bible says, cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads. All precious Heavenly Father, Lord, this evening, Father, we come once again, Father, just your people, Father, crying out for more of you. Father Abba, tonight. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would come into this building, Lord God, and take complete control. Lord, as I surrender everything that I am to thee, Lord God, I pray that you would speak to me and through me, Father. But Lord, not only to me, I pray for a surrendering of every person that came out tonight. Lord, that whatever thoughts that they were thinking previously before coming in, whatever has taken place, Lord God, I pray that they could put that aside and put you on the forefront this evening, Lord God. Lord, and that they could worship you tonight in spirit and truth, Father. Lord, we need more of thee, Father. May every angel be at their position tonight. Satan, we rebuke thee. You're not welcome here. Lord Jesus, we just ask tonight that thy Holy Spirit take preeminence, take complete control. Lord, we give you everything that we are and promise, Lord, tonight to give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Now, this evening, I want to just tell you how excited it's been to just be in these meetings, just the blessing that we've came and we've been in expectation, and the Lord always answers our expectations. Of course, last night, our precious brother Andy preached that wonderful message called Let It Rain, Let the Rain Fall on Us. And he mentioned about making ready and about preparations for the latter rain. And he explained to us that we had to dig.
Amen.
And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
But I want to tell you, not everybody knows how to dig. I was telling the brethren, I said, the Lord had blessed me in my later age to have a contractor's license. And when I was younger, I started off digging ditches. We started off digging for the plumbers and for the electricians, and, you know, we got pretty good at digging. And so, you know, when now you can hire somebody and you look at the way that they hold the shovel, and just without even attempting to dig a little, you know that they don't know how to dig. And you look at him and you get the shovel and you say, hey, let me show you, get it this way and that way. And you got to know how to dig and you show them how to dig and eventually they learn how to dig. But tonight I believe that we need to dig deep. So for those of you that don't know how to dig, you get this spade right here. And you raise it up and you give glory to the Lord. And you dig and you dig and you dig. And the preacher comes and he preaches and you dig. And we preach and you dig. And we preach and you dig. And you brothers up front, you're up the first line, brother. You got to learn how to dig. So you dig. You dig when you don't want to dig. But you got to learn how to dig. Praise the Lord. And so Wednesday night, our brother Eli preached perfect unity. And he said, and I quoted him as saying, he started off before he brought his scripture out. He said, in America, he said, and other places, when someone is dying or departing, he said the last words are very important. You remember that?
Yes.
I should have gave you a quiz before. He said the last words are very important. He says they want to give the last advice or the last instructions or whatever he wants his children or his family or his followers to do. And so tonight we just want to build off of that just a little, if you don't mind, a couple hours maybe of just giving up your time this evening, and maybe 10 minutes, however the Lord would lead. But on Saturday, December 4th, 1965, Brother Brandon preached a message called The Rapture. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And so now we know in the rapture he preached from the book of Psalms. And I just took a small portion out there to read to you, just to encourage you maybe just a little bit. He read in the psalm where it said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in the pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me on the rock. And so we know when he spoke on the rapture, Brother Branham, it wasn't that Brother Branham was just getting it on his own, but he was taking it from the Word.
Right.
And we know that when the Word speaks anything, that it'll always come through. God is always faithful. If he says it, we know that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, it's going to happen. Amen? And so he said these things, and so shall it be, we could say tonight. Well, the next night after that, he preached another message. Sunday, December 5th, 1965, this is the next day after he preached the rapture message. Brother Brandon preached a message called Things That Are To Be.
Right.
Somebody say, are to be. So in other words, not things that might be or things that maybe or things that possibly, but these say things that are to be. Hallelujah. Now for that message, he used the same scripture that we opened up with tonight in John chapter 14. And he preached the things that are to be. And notice, I thought that this was quite amazing what he says here about this scripture. Brother Brown says, nearly all knows this. It seems to me many times it's used in funeral services. So in other words, now he's taking these things that are to be and he's using a funeral scripture. He says, ever was a time that I'd like to preach a funeral service. He said, it would be to this world. If there'd ever be a time to preach a funeral service, it would be to this world. I want to tell you, church, it's time to say goodbye to this world already. Now, we've been preached to of a rapture, and we're ready for a rapture, but I want to say tonight we can say goodbye, world! Hey, we've been to funerals. We've been over and over to funerals. Most of us ministers have been preaching them now more in the last 2 years. But if there'd be ever a time to preach a funeral, it would be tonight. That we could finally say goodbye, world. I stand no longer with thee. Goodbye to pleasures of sin. I stand no longer with thee. We need to get serious already. When you're at a funeral, you're saying goodbye. And I want to tell you, goodbye, world. I'm tired of this whole world. Hallelujah. Here we find in the scripture Jesus comforting his disciples. He was telling them, Brother Bram said, he was telling them that after death, there is life. And then he says, because, he says, the Lord said, I go and prepare a place. That is to receive them. He shows that there's life after death. So in other words, the Lord was comforting his apostles by telling him, this ain't the end. This ain't going to be it. There's life after this life. There's life after death. We have a lively hope. We're not them that mourn and stay out and wonder what's going to happen. We know things that are to be. Why do we say we ought to be the happiest people on this earth? Well, let me tell you, we're not happy every day, but I want to tell you, we have joy. And we have joy from the Lord. And nothing that happens in this world can take away that joy. How many have that joy tonight? That no matter what takes place, we know that the Lord is coming back for us. What did our brother Jewel tell us? No more woesy, wowsy, woozy. You know, when he preached that, I just didn't laugh and think that it was funny. I really thought about it, and I said, you know what? I ain't going to be that person. Little whiner. You know, I'm already getting off track of the notes, but I'm saying there's a lot of whiners out there. You know, it always boggles my mind how that people try to pick a fight with the pastor. It's like you look, you know, at school, it's like you can pick a fight with all these ones, but you're going to pick a fight with a pastor? Yeah. How do you think that's going to turn out? Come on. You know, we got to thinking, you know, back in New Mexico, we have a town called Albuquerque, and it's a rough place. Albuquerque is a tough little place. And it was taking place often, all, you know, things were going on, and we were finding out that a lot of shootings were taking place by police officers. And it would be actually a person would already be disgruntled, or they'd be tired of their life or whatever things had come their way, and they were thinking for a way out. You know, and they would think a way out, and they come up with this idea that they would provoke a police officer knowing that he would have to act. Get this point. Knowing that he would have to act. And so they would go and provoke a police officer and pull out a weapon or whatever. And they would have it done to where the police would shoot them. And they had a term for it. It was called suicide by cop. And I got to thinking, you know, there's a lot of disgruntled people out there. And for whatever reason, whatever that it would be, and you know, it could be anything, church. that they would have already. Remember, last night we were speaking about motives and objectives and certain things in their heart. And they would come out and they would actually come and confront the pastor. And they would provoke the pastor to and cause him to have to act. Amen. Let me tell you, if you come to the pastor and you provoke him and you make him act, he's going to have to say something. And you would have them that they would come and provoke the pastor so that he would say something, so they would have an excuse. To come and say, well, this is why I left the church. And then the pastor was mean to me. And, oh, he told me this. And he told me that. And we know that you're the one who provoked him to do it. So it's like poking the bear. Or trying to grab it by the tail. I want to tell you, church, if the Lord is not in your heart, stop blaming the pastors. Stop blaming the preachers. Find out what your real motive is for leaving the church. That was a freebie. Notice he says, I go and prepare a place that is to receive them. Brother Branham said, it shows that a life after this life is ended. Notice he says, what a consolation that ought to give all of us. To know that after this life is over, there is a life that we go into. And I got to say that that's encouraging. That's comfort. There is a life that we go into. Who said it? Jesus said it. He goes on to say, and as you get older, he says, that becomes more of a reality to you. And it might not mean that much to the young people tonight, but let me tell you, as you ache and you creak, as you have to get into a shower to kind of stretch out just a little bit, you start getting tired of this old world. And your body's hurting and you're aching all the time. Hey, that reality, come on, church, gets a little bit more real every day as you live. He said, as you begin to see the days of your life's event, he says, now, he said, it's a continuing of the same life, of this same life in another world, another place. So in other words, when we go over there, you're still going to be you. And you're still going to be you. And you're still going to be you. It's not that we're going to go over to the other side and we're going to be somebody different. Hey, I think a lot of people wish that they say, oh, when I go over there, I'll learn how to act or, you know, I'll learn how to do this or that. But I want to tell you, what you are here is what you're going to be over there. So you might as well start serving God and worshiping right now. Hey, if you're going to worship him there, we can worship him right now. Oh, well, I'm going to wait and give my best worship when I see him. Well, let me tell you, you're seeing him right now. Right now. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:45. The Bible says, and we know that it's Paul that is the writer. He says, and so, he says, it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Notice in the next verse it says, howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. He goes on to say the first man is of the earth. Somebody say earthy.
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 The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, the reason that we're reading that tonight is to get the pattern. pattern of what Brother Brad is preaching on things that are to be. He's using earthly examples to tell us about the heavenly. Because he knows that God is infinite and we have a finite mind. And we cannot think like God. We cannot figure things out like God. So he shows us some things that we are able to understand. Hallelujah. Brother Bram said, so the earthly things only express what the eternal things are. Amen. I'm going to read that again because some of you missed it. So the earthly things only express what the eternal things are. So you're saying there's certain things on this earth that are going to show us and express what the eternal is? Absolutely. It doesn't conflict with Scripture. So now Brother Branham takes in that and he gives us an example and he shows us about our earthly parents. How many have good earthly parents? Whoa. I might have to use mine as an example then. Brothers, you guys are in the hot seat right here. I'm going to ask again just in case you didn't raise your hand because you know what I said. How many have good earthly parents? Spade, brother. Spade. Start digging. Start digging. Notice, he's telling us that they made ready for your coming. So we look and say, we actually had a coming. There was a time that when we were just inside of our father, right? I was just inside of Brother Leo. I had not been revealed yet. But there was a time that when he got with my mother and things took place, we find out that the seed was planted, right? And then we find out, oh, all of a sudden, here comes Brother Manuel. Now, if you didn't see it from the signs that they have of the echo and all these things where you could see the little pictures, well, then pretty soon you'd find out that you could see it naturally. And so we realized that our earthly parents, if they're good earthly parents, they started preparing things for us. Now I look over and I see our sister there, and we know that her and Brother JJ have to be preparing. Now Brother Branham told us we start getting the booties ready, right? I don't know if we use booties anymore, but maybe they're preparing the Nikes. Maybe they've got little baby Nikes. They say, oh, these are awesome, right? These little baby Nikes. And, you know, they get these little socks and they start preparing the clothing. And Brother Ram told us that they got the crib ready. And we know that there was baby food and everything. What? Preparing for the coming of the little baby. So in other words, if you had good parents, there was a preparation for you. There was a preparation that took place for you. And we find out that it wasn't just from birth, but birth to maturity. So now we see as we got older, you know, our parents started to get us more things. And maybe they were creative, brother, and got us a skateboard. And we used a skateboard. And maybe we were able to get a bike. Or maybe we were able to get certain things. Our food, our diet changing. No more baby food anymore. We were now eating chicken tacos. Hey, if you were lucky, a bean burrito, right? In our house, if you got piñon, you were the golden child. But see, this was good parenting. Preparation for you. But how many can look and say, well, what about our heavenly father? If I have good parents here and they're earthly, what about my heavenly father? And so, looking just a little bit into that tonight, Brother Bram said, your birth here was pre-planned. Amen. Now, you don't have to say amen to that, but it's true. Sure. Your birth here was pre-planned. He said, I guess you believe that. He said, every one of you knows that our birth was pre-planned. He said, did you know that you being here never originated just as a myth or a thought? And so we looked at that tonight. We said, well, we passed church after church coming down the road, and this one and that one. That one had a cross. That one had a sign. That one had all kinds. But why did we come here tonight? Why did we? Many of you drove for hours, but why did you have to come here tonight? It was because there was some kind of gene, and we know that it's a God gene that was inside of you. And despite whatever your mind was thinking, it was bringing you to church tonight. Even he said, well, who's preaching? Is it Brother Manuel preaching? Oh, well, I don't know, you know. Or, oh, is it going to be this, bro? It doesn't matter. Something deep inside said, I got to be there no matter what. And it bypassed our thinking. Oh, he goes on to say, everything was all pre-planned by God. Oh, before the foundation of the world, that you would be here. Now we imagine now that not just being in this building, but here in this day and this age, God pre-planned you to be here, Sister Joanna. When? In this day. We were born in a certain time, but he knew we would all gather here tonight. In this day. Notice he says, the infinite God knowed, and to be infinite, he had to know every flea that would be on the earth. Spade. Dig. That was the first chance. Second chance. Spade. Dig, church, dig. Notice he said, and he had to know every flea that would ever be on the earth and how many times that it would bat its eye. He said, that's infinite. Amen. Just to give us an example, because we don't understand that. But he said, that's infinite. But then he said, our little minds cannot fathom what infinite means. So you have a little mind. Smarty. So, brother, here you are again, putting us down, telling me I have a little mind. Well, you do. I'm going to stay there. Brother Paul, I'll keep preaching that till they admit they have a little mind. You have a little mind. God has a great big mind, but you have a little mind. We have to start off by going down. Right? If you're going to be digging, you can't be digging off of a ladder. You're going to be digging. Got to get down low. I got a little mind. But notice he's the infinite God. He knows all things. Therefore, there's nothing out of cater. Nothing surprises our God, Brother Chris. He's not shocked. He's not saying, oh, wow, I didn't think they were going to invade. Oh, wow, I didn't know that this was going to happen. He knows all things. Now, I took the liberty, and I know that my brother Reuben's not here, but I always take the liberty to look up a certain word and read it out. And so Brother Branham talked about that. There's nothing out of cater. And, you know, for years I've read him talk about cater, and I had no idea what he was saying, out of cater. And I kind of thought what it meant. But I finally looked it up for your sake and for mine. That way we could all be on the same page tonight. When you take that word cater, it means to provide. So in other words, he's saying there's nothing out of cater. Our Heavenly Father, you weren't without booties. You're not without a crib. He's fed you from your birth to maturity. So he says nothing out of cater. So God's provided. Cater means to supply what is required or desired. So if I had a desire, God is here to give me what I need. Remember, what I need. Now you take that word further and you go through the synonyms, Brother Doug, and that word cater means to furnish. That word cater means to serve. The word cater means banquet. The word cater means feast. The word cater means to dine. So when we look at that, we see that God has already prepared. He's already provided. He's already supplied everything we need. He gave us the Word. He gave us the Holy Ghost. He gave us a fivefold ministry. We have everything we need. Hallelujah. Therefore, I believe we ought to trust Him. I believe we ought to trust our God. How many can you say, you know what? I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust what He said. I'm going to trust what He provided. I'm going to trust everything about Him. Even in the chaos. Even in the chaos. What chaos? 2022 chaos. It's been chaotic, church. Even in the with the variants, can you trust God? I want to ask you, with the virus, can you trust God? What about earthquake? Can you trust God? What about the chaos of the volcanoes? What about the chaos of war and rumors of war? I want to tell you, I'm just crazy enough to trust my God through it all. Why, church? Why? Because He placed me right here in this time to what? To go through 22 chaos. I wasn't supposed to go through 1942 chaos. That wasn't for me. I was supposed to go through 2022 chaos. How are we going to do it? By the Word of God. Trusting what He says. Hallelujah. So in other words, when they tell you, you were born, brother, for this time, it wasn't just me saying, oh, you're going to preach tonight. Well, no, Brother Matthew, you were born for this time. Well, you're a preacher. You shouldn't get nervous. You shouldn't do it. But what about you, son? You were born for this time. You were born for this chaos. You say, oh, it's harder than it's ever been, Pastor. It's rougher than it's ever been. All these things are against. But you were born for this time. God trusted you, young man, for this time. Hey, if it got harder, He gave you more grace. If it gets rougher, church, He'll give you more grace. More things can take place. He'll provide for you. Because He said He'll provide for you. Hallelujah. So in other words, He prepared and supplied for us. Can we say amen?
Amen.
You say, brother, how did He prepare for us? Well, we've been feasting on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man.
Amen.
That ought to prepare anybody for any battle, for any chaos, for anything that comes out.
Amen.
How many been feeding off the word?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then you're ready.
Amen.
God trusts you.
Amen.
He has a bride that's going to come out of this age. He trusts you. He said, church, I've prepared everything for you. You're feasting. You're dining. You're at the banqueting table. There's nothing out of chaos. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Makes me feel like preaching tonight. Hey, if you keep... you ought to dig a little deeper. See, there's more in there. So our Christ has prepared us. How many can say amen?
Amen.
In other words, in this preparation, He's revealed to us mysteries.
Amen.
And you've seen. And you've seen. What did He do? The mighty Christ that we serve. He came and He pulled back the curtain of death.
Glory.
And death was exposed. And we looked in there and said, "Death, you're only our transportation." And we stopped fearing death. And then what did our Lord do? He came back and he pulled another curtain back for us. And it slid back and we saw a man. Oh, I'm exposed. I was born in sin. Shaped in iniquity. Came to this world speaking lies. And man was exposed. So we knew we could not trust anything but the word. And then our God came again in this day and he pulled another curtain back. And hell looked out and said, "You exposed me. I'm not eternal. I'm not eternal." And hell closed the curtain. And then he sent a prophet in our day. And he pulled back another curtain called the Iron Curtain. And oh, we saw what was behind that curtain. And he told us, "Don't fear that curtain." And that curtain, oh, pulled it back. And then a mighty God came and opened up another curtain. And it was a bamboo curtain. Oh! And the bamboo curtain was exposed. And he said, "Don't fear that curtain either." And there was another curtain left that needed to be exposed. Come on, church. You know where we're going. And God came through a prophet and he opened up that curtain. Ah! Ah! The purple curtain. And God come and said, "Don't fear what they can do to the body. But you fear the one who can damage the soul, right? But you look in there and you say, we no longer fear Catholicism. We don't fear Romanism." Oh, I know what I'm talking about. We grew up about 20 years in Catholicism. And you know what? Sometimes they act like some people in church. They just sit there. "Oh, I did my service. I'm going, where's the food?" But God blessed enough to see when that curtain's revealed, you see where that spirit is. And he's blessed and everything has been revealed. But there was another curtain that had to be revealed. And this one got revealed. And it went like this and it opened up. And behind it was God's people. And they said, "What is it?" "It's the mighty God unveiled." Where's God tonight? He's right here and right here and right here. You want to see God? Take a good look at yourself. What are you waiting for? He revealed everything. Hey, turn to your neighbor and say, "How you doing, Mrs. Jesus Christ?" Turn to your neighbor. Look at her. We're not waiting to see God. We see him right now. Bible said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." Amen. So we look at scripture and the Bible tells us if we know how to give good gifts. Yes. Brother JJ, you're getting good stuff prepared, right? That little baby girl's coming. He's not just buying these knockoffs. Sis, you're not letting him. Say, "No, we're getting the name brand. We're getting the good stuff. And if you're any kind of good daddy, whatever she needs, our prophet told us that you'll do everything you can. You'll break the bank, right? If she wants pickles in the night, you're going to get up and you're going to go buy him in the night. Why? Because you want your baby to come out perfect. If it has a need, if there's a deficiency, then God is more than able to supply the need. And if you have a deficiency tonight, you have a God that's more than able to supply your need. I like this, Brother Branham. He kind of takes a little different avenue than I had been used to him taking, but in this message, Things That Are to Be, it's in 1965. We know that the Bible said, in my Father's house are, and Brother Branham goes on to say, notice, he says, many mansions. Do we all agree? But Brother Branham takes that and he says, many kinds of mansions. And I stood back just for a little while and said, many kinds of mansion. And I underlined kinds over and over. But he lets us know what it is. He goes on and he says, like many kinds of hills. How many know that there's many kinds of different hills? Notice how he's bringing this in from the earthly to the spiritual. He says, like many kinds of rivers. There's many kinds of rivers. Springs. How many know there's many kinds of springs? Many kinds of lakes. He said, they were here when you come here first. You didn't show up. And then God said, oh, brother, I think you like mountains. I'm going to give you a mountain. He knew what you would like. Brother, he didn't come and say, oh, you got you two brothers. I think you're going to like the desert. He knew what you would like. He already knew your flavor. Amen. How many here likes mountains?
Amen.
That's a good flavor.
Amen.
How many here likes deserts? What a flavor. How many likes the ocean? He likes that too, our flavor. He knew what you would like. And us being a human being and having a half a mind these days, right? We're able to say, you know what? I don't like the mountains. I'm going to move to the deserts. Or I don't like the deserts. I'm going to move to the ocean or whatever that it is. Why? Because our God made these things just for you. And church, we so seemingly enjoy them. That's the problem of saying goodbye to the world. Because there's a lot of things that we enjoy. So it's a little rough. Come on, church. It's a little rough, and we're saying, goodbye, world. I stand no longer with you. Kinda. Right? You. Some young people say, I still want to live my life. But you see how it's getting so hard. So rough now that even that's changing. Where now the young people are coming and saying, I see what's taking place across the globe. There's something inside of me that's now seeing what's taking place. It's later than we think. And they're coming now and saying, Brother Mayo, do I have the Holy Ghost? Do I have what it takes to get out of here? And there's an urgency that's taking place, even in our young people. Oh, church, you ought to know that you know that you know. It's later than you think. But notice, Brother Bram said, while he said he had that, will you come here first? He said, because of the kindness of your heavenly Father, placed them here. How many know that we have a kind heavenly Father? Hey, church, he cares for you. He cares through the trial that you're going through. He cares for all the heartache and all the pain and all the death. He's a kind heavenly Father. And he's prepared you for this chaos. Notice he says, oh, the Father placed him here. He said, because some men like mountains. So now you don't have to ask Brother Calvo why the mountains are here. Because of me. I'm going to make it personal. Right? I told this to my brother. He says, now I know why we have pizza. He said, because of me. And I said, thank you, brother.
Amen.
Notice he says, Brother Bram says, I'm glad, he says, that he made mountains. Because Brother Bram says, I like mountains. And he goes on to say, you know, he must have, right at the mountain, poured out the mortar box there. In other words, he was saying that was it. Oh boy, that was it. But I like how he keeps the balance. Brother Flynn, I like how he keeps the balance. Notice what he says here. He goes on to say, and some like the plains. Now, it's not that we all have to say, oh, Brother Branham, you like the mountains. I have to like mountains. You take lowlanders up high, they can't even breathe. You take the highlanders down low, and they get headaches. Too much oxygen. But God knew where he would place us. He knew our flavor. But he went on to say, and some say I like plains, he says, where I can see long ways. I took my dad to North Carolina. He said, son, I'm claustrophobic. I said, don't say nothing. The people like it here. He said, oh, I don't care, son. He says, I don't like it here. I said, why, Dad? He said, I can't see. I'm getting claustrophobic. He says, I'm used to seeing long ways out there. I know what's coming at me. I can see a Walmart and know, hey, there's a Walmart. He says, all I see is trees. He said, where do the people live? And you're like, shh, Brother Leo's being Brother Leo. And my mom's there sweating it out. Some of you sweat it out too. You don't know what your husband's going to say. You don't know what your wife's going to say. A lot of you, they're always covering up for them, right? Coaching them before you get to church. Don't. But notice he says, I like the plains. He said, some like the plains where they say, I can see a long ways. He says, well, two different natures. He said, but both of us Christians. You know what? God has a flavor for everyone. And we can't come and say, well, I'm only going to go to church if there's some preacher that's dead serious and all he does, he don't even move and he has to stay here. That's the one that I like. Well, praise God, he has some for you. And then some say, oh, well, you know, I like this other one that does this and I like this one and that one. But I want to tell you, if you just single it out, you're wrong. God has a variety of preachers. He has some this way and that way. He has one for all of you. But don't whine when you don't get your flavor.
That's right.
That's a freebie too. Right? Hey, you're guilty. Well, I only like it when they bring this one minister from North. Well, I think these meetings should have whiner. That's why you haven't got nothing, because you haven't been digging. Well, I have no idea why we would use our local ministers for our anniversary meetings. I do. They preach the house down. The thing about it is you were looking for a special flavor, and you missed what was right before you. I'm telling you, I came expecting I've got. I'm telling you what, I'm leaving this place a better person. Oh, he says, the Father knew that you would be here and prepared everything for you before you got here. Oh, amen. He says, your first coming. That was your first coming, prepared for everything. He did it naturally, and he did it spiritually. Yes. Oh, who can serve a father like that? Yes. Everything's ready. Yes. Everything's prepared. All you got to do is eat. Yes. Pick up the spade and But notice he goes on to say, now they are temporal gifts. He's talking about the things that he's saying, right? Remember, we're looking at the earthly things to show us of those eternal things. So in other words, he says temporal gifts, and we know them as worldly as opposed to spiritual. But Brother Branham goes on to say, to us, he says, these things only expressing that there is one where it's an eternal one. Now what's he talking about? Body. Body now. Now he's expressing all these things to our flavor, to our liking, but they are expressing what? The earthly things, this earthly body. But there's one that's eternal. Now he goes on to say, oh, he said, that's what Jesus has gone away to prepare. He says, the eternal one for us. Now they can only express there's a greater of the same kind. So in other words, when I get over there, I'm not going to be somebody else. I'm going to be Brother Manuel, right? But I'll be in a body that you recognize, a young body, a healthy body, one that doesn't get sick, one that doesn't grow old, one that doesn't hurt, one that I can say and fly and move as a thought. That's the body that I'm expecting. How many is expecting a body like that? How many can say, oh, that's what we're looking forward to, brother? Aren't you tired of this old body? I mean, are you really tired of it? Brother Bram says, now remember, the Bible said if this earthly tabernacle of our dwelling, if it perish or be dissolved, we have one already. What? Waiting. What's he quoting? 2 Corinthians, right? What did the prophet always do? He always pointed us back to the Bible. Well, praise the Lord. I hope you're not tired yet. Brother Paul, dig. That's cousin Paul, right? Like the pastor said earlier, like, he, don't ask no questions. So Paul was like, dig.
Amen.
Right? I would have told him, jump. He'd have been, I can jump a little bit. Right? But do you see, it's not, oh, the pastor is telling me to raise my hand. I'm not going to raise it. It's just a man. Whoa, whoa. Whoa. We're going off the notes here. There was a time in about 1950. I wasn't even born yet. I'd say in the 1990s. And I've been blessed to have good parents. My dad, when we were young, before we could even hardly walk, he would get us a BB guns, he would get us wrist rockets, he would get us all these tools. One day he came back from a garage sale and he had a longbow. And we couldn't even pull that thing back. And it was a good thing because more prairie dogs lived. But it came to an age where we started pulling it back and I started getting good with the bow. And I like to bow hunt. But I was telling a brother, and I've been telling many, I said, don't always just say, oh, I only use stick and string. I said, why are you limiting yourself? Right. Why? Sharpen a spoon. Whatever it takes, right? Why do we limit it? What about us in Scripture? What about us in... Why do we limit ourselves? Say, well, you know what? He's saying lift up a spade. I lift up two. Yeah. What are you saying? Jump a little. I jump up twice. We limit ourselves. I'll just give a little bit because Brother Doug's watching. So I got married to Sister Shannon. The days went on. I said, hey, I want to take you hunting. She says, I don't want to hunt. I don't have the desire to hunt. So finally one day she says, okay, I'll go hunting with you on a bow hunt. And so I took her out, got everything ready. The weather was horrible. Everything was not working out the way I thought it was going to work out. Well, anyway, one day we were up along a little ridge there, and it was early in the morning, and I was cow calling Brother Joseph, you know, meow. And she's like, oh, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm cow calling. This is what we do. So she's like, okay. So coming along this ridge, and you know, we, meow, and all of a sudden, down, way down, long, down there, Brother JJ, we heard, and she said, what is that? I said, don't worry about it. I said, don't worry about it. So we stayed calling, and it got a little closer. And, it was, and she says, don't you think you ought to get ready? And I said, no. She says, all right. So calling, meow, 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 right? And it was getting closer. And Sister Jennifer, it was bugling back. And she says, don't you think you ought to get ready? And I said, no. And she said, why? I said, it's a man. I said, it's a man. It's another hunter. And she said, how do you know? I said, well, Al, you know, that's the most pathetic imitation of an elk that I have ever heard. Oh, and I had been, you know, all Wayne Carlton student, you know, all I've been, when call calls started coming out, they looked weird. And she says, well, I think you ought to get ready. I said, no, it'll get bugle back. I said, oh, it's a man. So I just, we sat upon a rock. And so we're just sitting there, and I turn down and I look, and all of a sudden this big old bull's coming up fast, really fast, so fast that I didn't even have time to move. All of a sudden I look there, she's with me, she's looking, this bull's about 10 feet away, just half drooling, and we're just there. So I pulled, like, it's gone. And she says, that's why you guys never bring home nothing. It wasn't that funny then. And it's really not meant to be a joke. Because I want to tell you, that's what's happening in our day. You better be careful of the guide you're following. Because he could be turning to you and say, what was that? That's what the guides are telling these days. Saying, oh, you know, that it's just a man. And I want to tell you, if you listen to the wrong guide, you're going to miss it. Our God reveals himself in simplicity. If you're looking for great, outstanding, amazing, out of control thing, you're going to miss it. Because I already told you tonight, the mighty God unveiled is right here. Don't miss it. Don't look at a minister and say, oh, well, you know, that minister might not be bugling like the way you like it. That invitation might not be the one you think. But let me tell you, God is still using men. And you got to be careful. We have a guide. We have a prophet of God that came and pointed us to the right one. And he said, that call, right? That mama scream that called your name out, that everybody else thought it wasn't the real thing. Something deep down in here said, that's nothing but the truth. That's nothing but the truth, Brother Branham. But the guys these days saying, oh, it's in this voice, you know, it should have been better. It should have been this. I want to tell you, he used an old Kentucky man. to come in, and maybe he sang the songs that you didn't really like to hear, but let me tell you, they mean more now than they've ever been. I'm telling you tonight, church, don't miss it. People are saying it's a man, but it was God in a man, through a man. And when your pastor comes up here and the Holy Spirit anointing comes upon him, those words that are coming out of his mouth are nothing but the truth and nothing but the Lord. And maybe you're saying, well, I can't decipher it, or I don't know. You better know what you're hearing, church. Praise the Lord. God is good. Can we have another hour? You're digging now. You're digging. Whew. So, Brother Bam goes on to say, he says, now we find that this life holds all kinds of evil, so therefore, the life that is to come won't have it. This one has lust. Ministers? Sound room? This life has lust. Notice he goes on to say, and sickness. Death. He said, because what is it? It's not the house that he's gone to prepare. This is a pest house. Now, once again, I took the liberty so we'd all be on the same page to know what a pest house is. And if you read what a pest house is, we should know it more in this age than anybody else. Notice the pest house means it's a house. A pest house is a shelter. A pest house is a hospital. Isolation. For those infected with a contagious disease. So in other words, we know what a pest house is. Many of you know it as the spare bedroom. Hey, this one's feeling sick. They're coughing, whatever it is. Put him in the spare bedroom. And they put him in the spare bedroom and they isolate it. And others know it as the camper or the guest house. But whoever was sick was placed away because they had a contagious disease. Are you with me? And so now we understand that sin brought us into this pest house. Can we say amen? Amen. And no doubt we've all heard stories of those. And, you know, we look back to maybe our younger days or even some of our family or family members that aren't serving the Lord. Because of sin, because of alcohol, because of drugs, because of all these things, we found them wandering. And before you know it, somebody's waking them up on a couch and they're saying, hey, Bubba, you're in the wrong house.
Amen.
Because they didn't know where they were at. They came back and they had maybe been drunk or off of their mind. And somehow, brother, they wandered into somebody else's house. And they laid down on the couch. And before you know it, there was somebody saying, hey, friend, what are you doing here? How'd you get in? How'd you get in here? You're in the wrong house. But that was all of us. Because of sin. One day, God had to shake us and wake us out of here and said, hey, Brother Manuel, you're in the wrong house. And I said, what, this house right here? Yeah, that's the wrong house. You bypass your theophany, and now you're in this house, but this isn't the house. This isn't the right house. So that eagle screamed, and I said, yes, Mama, I'm in the wrong house. And we all know what had to take place. We were justified. and sanctified, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We were set, placed up as adoption. So we went through that process. We had to be born again. But there was a time when they reached over to the Father's house and the Father came over to a guest. And the guest was sitting there and he said, "Hey, friend, how'd you get in here? You're in the wrong house. You'll be sent where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'm telling you now, you must be born again now. God has called you and said you're in the wrong house here. We're waiting for a body change." Well, praise the Lord. Maybe you don't know anyone like that. Maybe it was you that woke up in the wrong house. Notice Brother Bram says, oh, he says, but the other one's called the Father's house. The other, you're in the wrong house, but the other one's called the Father's house. And I'll go and prepare a place for you, take you out of this pest house, and deliver you into my Father's house. So he goes on to say, there you are, take you out of this old earthly pest house. He's gone to prepare a place. Somebody say, a perfect place.
Perfect.
A perfect place. No evil exists. No sickness exists. No old age exists. No death exists in my Father's house. But we recognize before the fullness or the opening of the word or the revelation of the seven seals, we had all kinds of crazy ideas. Not you. You always knew. All kinds of crazy ideas. Even Brother Branham talks about his mom having this kind of idea. What are you saying of what heaven would be like? Notice how he says it. He goes on and says, old timers used to think. I say, old timers? He said, yeah, the old timers, he said, used to think that everyone that died went up to heaven and had a harp. Now today, because we have the truth, we can laugh. But really back then, they thought that you would just go and you were on a cloud and you were playing the harp. Since I don't know how to play a musical instrument. Who doesn't know how to play an instrument in here? Well, then that would leave us out. Well, you could sing, brother, but if you didn't know how to play a harp, right? Brother Andy, well, I'm done. That old way of thinking, that old times way of thinking, Brother Paul, we'd be done. Say, well, what do? Do I try to learn how to play the guitar? I already tried that. We're admiring this beautiful saxophone. When I was in sixth grade, I had one. And I could play Mary Had a Little Lamb. But then when we went to junior high, right? You had to march in the band. I said, that's it. If I got to march in the band, I'm out, Brother Flint. Remember, we were too cool to march in the band. So if you know what, I'm out. If we're going to have to march, I'm done in the band. But let me tell you, nowadays when I got a new revelation of who I am, I march to the beat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed. I won't be ashamed nowhere. Come on, church. But notice he said, oh, he said up there on the clouds and they played a harp. He said they know that there was a place called heaven. But they, if that be so, all the musicians would have it on us. So notice I look at it, all everyone that knows how to play, they would have it on me. Do you ever see the musicians when they're up here? Sometimes they don't know what kind of expression to give. They're like, right? The pastor's preaching. Brother, amen it from the back. Well, praise the Lord. I'm trying to close. But you notice the prophet of God came and told us heaven's a real place. It's a real place. And what you are here, Sister Shannon, you're going to be over there. It's not going to be this change. That's what we're taking is our character, right? Big brother, you're going to be the same. You're going to be there happy as you always are, right? Playing that the music, but now with the spade up and saying, preach it, Brother Doug. That's nothing but the truth. That's nothing but the truth. Oh, we got time. Now, because of sin, man became separated from the presence of God. That's your cue to say amen.
Amen.
That spade.
Glory.
Dig.
Amen.
Notice why? Because man became civilized. Right? That's why the nations were holding back and saying, they're not going to invade Ukraine. This is a civilized world that we live in. Now, in this day and age, that would never take place again. We're civilized, but... Now, Brother Branham takes us, he says, in the world that we live in, he said, this education, I want to prove to you. Prove. He says, education, science, civilization, and all these things that we so seemingly enjoy today is of Satan and will perish. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
He said, you say, Brother Branham, civilization? He said, yes, sir. He said, civilization came by what? Satan. So he shows us. Let's turn real quick to Genesis chapter 4. You love the Lord?
Amen.
When you're there, just say amen. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, let's go to verse 16. Now, some of you are so spoiled that all the words are on the board and you don't have to look. And you know what? I would do that too, but the people that at our place, if you put all the words on the board to sing, then they don't know the song when the words aren't on the board. And that's where I say as the pastor, don't ask no questions. Right? Sometimes we get so spoiled that, wait, we can't sing. The words aren't on the board yet. The song leaders, they're hanging, waiting, like, help me out, guys. So now, those of you that have a Bible, the point I want to make tonight is, right before verse 16, what does your Bible say as the heading going into it? Anybody? See, my Bible says the Canaanite civilization. But I was saying that Sister Abby in our church, Brother Doug, she opened up her Bible and she said what Brother Paul did. She said, first civilization. And we look first civilization in chapter 4 of Genesis? What was before that?
Come on, brother.
What was before it? Hey, if that's the first civil... Come on, church. What's before the first civilization? And you look at it that way, and you say, well, we know that if you go and you read exactly what takes place, and they start building, and they start playing kind of instruments and things, right? And so the prophet of God is proving his point through the Bible. But what I'm trying to tell you is verse 4 already, how much already action has already happened before chapter 4. So what was it before chapter 4? Because you look at chapter 4, verse 16, and you start saying they were building all these things, right? They started building a civilization. But let me tell you, before chapter 4, it wasn't so in the beginning. It wasn't so in the beginning. That what was before chapter 4. It was the word of God that they were living on. It wasn't man's thinking. It wasn't man's ideas. It wasn't man's philosophy. So in other words, it's proved there was something before civilization, church. Are you still here tonight? But notice, Brother Branham goes on to say, he says, and civilization came by knowledge, and knowledge is what the devil sold Eve in the garden that caused her to cramp, transgress God's commandment. Notice he says, so there will be a civilization in the world that we're going to.
Come on.
There will be a civilization in the world that we're going to, but it won't be this kind of civilization. It won't be this kind of civilization. Notice he says, for in this civilization, we have sickness and sorrow and lust and death. Everything in this civilization is wrong. Come on, church, give me another half hour. You got it in you. Notice he goes on to say, there will be none of these things. We won't need science. We won't need science. Well, you say, well, what did science do for us? Hey, let me tell you a little story. Back in the early 40s or whatever it was in that time, there was something called the Manhattan Project. It was happening in a little town in Los Alamos in New Mexico. It was called the Race for Atomic Nuclear Energy. How many remember that? Oh, boy. Well, let me tell you, they were racing, Brother John. They were racing to get who's going to get the bomb first. Brother Boy Scout, you know what they did? They said, hey, we're going to get the smartest of the smartest of the smartest of the smartest. These scientists, brother, we're going to bring them all together. We're going to get Albert Einstein.
Right.
We're going to get Oppenheimer. Come on, church. We're going to get all these amazing scientists from all over the world. And it doesn't matter what experiments they've done. It doesn't matter what their past was, of how many people that they've hurt. We're going to want them and take them into our nation. And we're going to be a quest for the atomic bomb before anybody else gets it. But let me tell you, that ought to tell us tonight, when you bring the smartest of the smartest, the only thing that they can produce is death. What did they do? They built a bomb to destroy Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So we found out we don't need that kind of science. Over there, there won't be that kind of science. And for you young men, there won't be no Infinities and no Lexuses and Maseratis and all the, you ain't gonna need them over there. That's nothing over there. Hallelujah. Notice he goes on to say the kingdom of God will not have automobiles, airplanes, or any scientific achievements. No, it won't have any education at all. At all? We're not going to need civilization. We're not going to need science. No education. And you got to be careful if you don't have the balance here. You got to be real careful. People say, oh, well, we don't need to educate our young men anymore. Why? We're just going to get ready. Well, you know, education and this and that, but he's not talking about that. Our young men still need to go and get a good job for their wives. And their wives still need to be good homemakers. Brother Doug, I'm not going to get carried away with that one. We'll get in trouble there. Well, the Bible says chase keepers of the house. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, well, not in this day and age, brother. Well, of course not. You spend and spend and spend and spend. Well, so I'll stop there. But notice how we had a prophet who would take the balance here. Notice he answers it with a question to himself. He goes ahead and says, now you say, Brother Branham, why do we read then? Remember, he said, we won't need education, right? He's saying, well, you're saying, well, then, Brother Branham, then if we don't need that, why do we read? And notice how he answers the question. Brother Branham says, just like, why do we wear clothes? Why do we wear clothes? He says, see, he says, why do we wear clothes now? Notice he says, in the civilization, he says, that was first. They didn't need any clothes. Way back in the garden, they didn't need any clothes. Why? They didn't have this earthly education. Notice he says, that was first. They didn't need any clothes. They were veiled. They had no reason to wear clothes. He said, because they didn't know that they were naked. Oh, he says, now you find out in that now. He says that we are naked. Sin abides here. Then we've got to wear clothes. But he says, but it wasn't so. But it wasn't so. But it wasn't so. In the beginning, it wasn't so. There was no sin. See? Now he says, now he says the same things in the way of civilization. Altogether, we read. We write. We do this. Notice he says, but don't ever get adjusted to that. We have to do these things. The young men are out there. They've got to go to school, brother. You got to read. You got to write. But notice he says, don't ever get adjusted to that. He says, don't ever make that your God. Don't ever make that your God. He says, for that is the God of communism. What? We read, we write, we do this, but don't ever get adjusted to that. Don't make that your God, for that is the God of communism. So now we all think, well, we all know what communism is, right? Or we think, we say that we do. And you know me, we sis, I go and look it up. Communism, Karl Marx. And I'm saying, this ain't it.
Come on, that's right.
Karl Marx didn't start communism. That same theory, that same philosophy, all that same thing was way back there in chapter 4. That was education. That was civilization. And the world made that their God. But that's not our God. It wasn't so in the beginning. Notice, Jesus Christ is by faith. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
He says, not what you can scientifically prove. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I would have told you, I go to prepare a place, somebody say, for me.
Amen.
And if I go and prepare a place for
me,
I will come again.
Right.
and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be. These are things to be. Let's stand to our feet. If the musicians would come this evening. How many love the Lord? Isn't he so good to us? Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Let me see your spade tonight, church. Glory to God. Shake somebody by the hand and say, glory to God tonight. Whew. As you guys warm up, I'm going to cool down. But I got one more I want you to hear. Is that okay? Yeah. We're up. You've been sitting. Notice Brother Bram says, but the other one is called my Father's house. Amen. I'll go and prepare a place for you, take you out of this pest house and deliver you into my Father's house. Amen. There you are. Take you out of this old earthly pest house. He's gone to prepare a place, a perfect place. Someone say perfect. A perfect place where no evil exists. No sickness exists. No old age exists. No death exists. Oh, he says it's a perfect place, calling you to perfection. It's calling you to perfection. Oh, he says, and you have to be perfect to get there. And you have to be perfect to get there. Notice, but he doesn't leave us like that. He said, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, it's a perfect kingdom. So it must be a perfect people. Oh, my. Somebody say, that's me. Not by what I've done, but by what he's done. Notice he says, come because you have to stand and be married to a perfect Son of God. And you must be a perfect bride. So how can you do it? Through anything else but the perfect Word of God, which is the waters of separation that washes us from sin. Amen. That's right, the blood of Jesus Christ. Think of it. The dripping, bloody Word, and the blood, the Word, the bleeding blood to wash the bride in. Amen. Yes, sir. The saints stand perfect. Oh, you're perfect, church. He says, virgin. Somebody say virgin. Unadulterized. She never sinned in the first place. You never done it in the first place. Oh, what an unveiling of an amazing God. Isn't he perfect? Somebody say goodbye, world. I stand no longer with you. I stand no longer with you. I made up my mind. I made up my mind to serve God the rest of my life. How many can stand for that? Praise God. Brother Doug, God bless you, brother. Come on up here.